Welcome to the Gen Z Stoic Podcast,
where every week we strive to lead younger generations on a path to virtue through the insight of Stoic teachings and personal stories from our lives as Gen Z Stoics.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Gen Z Stoic Podcast. I'm your co-host, Ren. This is Mateo, and let's get right into this week's episode, which is on the Stoic concept around kindness, niceness, politeness, whatever you want to call it. We will go over later how kindness and niceness are two distinctly different things and cover the Stoic opinion of both of these. But with that being said, we can start today by saying that one of the biggest leaders in terms of the school of Stoicism around kindness is Marcus Aurelius. He writes extensively about kindness, the qualities that you need to exemplify kindness, and its importance within your life, which, as you can see, is the overall Stoic perspective. So when we look at Stoicism, right, there's the four cardinal virtues. We look at the virtue ethics. You've got courage, wisdom, justice, temperance. And to be just, to act justly, you have to have a certain element of kindness. Yes, you can't walk around being absolutely mean with no respect for any other person and say that you are upholding justice. So therefore, rationally, you can conclude that the Stoics made kindness a necessity. And as we'll cover later, there's kind of some nuance to that. But that's the overall broad theme, is kindness and niceness are different. Kindness is necessary, especially as it relates to good character. Niceness is not necessary, but it's something we can practice nice things, and that's something we can do.
And before we start diving into what it means to be kind as a Stoic, it's important to acknowledge that Stoicism itself has sort of gone under this false lens of being, it's an emotional, it's uncaring, you don't feel any emotion. But in reality, Stoicism was originally a philosophy that was based around love and kindness, as a matter of fact. So Stoicism is all about living a life of virtue. And it's written that the foundation of this virtue is actually a love for your fellow humans and, you know, contributing to the betterment of humanity itself. It's being bigger than yourself. So Stoicism is not being emotionless and having no empathy for anyone. It's actually living a life that is dictated by being kind to people, being loving, and being caring of the people around
you. And it really sucks that if you look at like Stoic videos on kindness nowadays, there's, I think within the last 2 weeks I was looking around, there's like three Stoicism-related YouTube videos where they're saying things like, oh, these are seven reasons why you shouldn't be kind, or being kind will destroy you. And it's unfortunate. It is kind of ironic that they use the guise of Stoicism to push this agenda when it doesn't really match up. But it's also unfortunate because, yes, then that kind of stereotype that you're building up where it's like emotionless and not caring and very apathetic is proven, because people can just say, look to this video. This is what this person says about Stoicism. Obviously, there's a lot more sources, but kind of how we work nowadays is you, and fair enough, but you point to these three videos and you're like, well, how can you say these things? Well, it's simply, I weigh the teachings of Marcus Aurelius, I weigh the teachings of Epictetus, I weigh the teachings of Seneca, I kind of weigh the teachings of all of these Stoic philosophers a lot more than somebody who just spent maybe an hour making an AI video on YouTube. And it's important to discuss that this is not true. It's one of the biggest misconceptions we've addressed a lot, is this apathy. And Stoics outwardly were kind, and they believed in the concept of cosmopolitanism, which is we all live under what they deemed a cosmopolis, which is just one kind of joined together society. And so if that's the case, how could we be mean and treat people who are in the same society as us, just the same as us, in a negative way? The biggest virtue is living in accordance with nature, and it's not in accordance with nature to go out and be a jerk 24/7. Now, there are times where that's a necessity, yes, but we can discuss those times later on.
Well, and I think it's important as well to talk about the fact that a lot of, you know, figures of high authority who are talking about Stoicism, taking it sort of to an extreme, saying, you know, well, if you want to be, you know, a tough masculine man, and I'm speaking for, you know, men because we are men, but they say, you know, if you want to be tough and masculine, you can't be nice, you have to be just hard, you have to be cold all the time. The sort of toxic masculinity culture that's actually being pushed by people in these authority, you know, positions who are pushing Stoicism are saying, you know, if you want to be a tough guy all the time, you have to be cold, you can't show any emotion. But in reality, what we do, and we talked about this in our masculinity episode, our traditional masculinity, was that being kind is actually what embracing traditional masculinity is about. A good man, you know, makes the people around him feel safe and feel cared about and feel welcome in their community, and he makes them feel like they are a part of something. So it's not about being emotionless all the time, and that's not what Stoicism is about ever. But it's about being, and in terms of being a man, when it comes to being kind is one of the greatest virtues that you can live by if you are abiding by Stoicism.
Right. And even outside of like the whole big picture, like Stoicism teaching, just think about the basic innate human nature of being kind. I like to believe that, you know, unless you're maybe a psychopath and you have that kind of psychology going on, that humans in general are looking out for each other. Now that's kind of decreased and it gets less and less because we're consumed by materialistic things or social media or just whatever's, you know, kind of in the forefront of our mind. But many, many people still take time out of their days to do kind acts and be kind to each other. And we still, at a basic level, share that kind of humanity. And it's just an innate thing. Marcus Aurelius talks a lot about how it is natural. We are born to be kind. He even has a quote saying that man is born to commit acts of kindness, to commit these deeds of kindness. So as you walk throughout your day, we talk about how one thing you can implement to have a more stoic routine is just doing one kind thing for somebody throughout the course of the day. Just one kind thing out of the goodness of your heart. It's an innate thing. And if that's one part of the Stoic routine, then obviously kindness is innately Stoic. And it falls under that umbrella of upholding justice, which is one of those cardinal virtues. However, there's a difference to be made between being kind and being nice. And the way that I like to put it is being kind is a state of mind. It's a mindset. And being nice is more a state of rules. The state of kind of standards that you have to follow. Like if you're being nice to a person, you're being polite to a person, it's a set of manners and characteristics that you have to exhibit. You have to exhibit gratitude just to kind of meet these societal standards. And it's not necessarily something where it's like you're programming yourself to do these things. You just say, well, this is like socially expected of me, so I'm going to do this so I don't look mean and I don't look like I'm not a nice person. But if you're a kind person, then you just view every person as an opportunity for kindness, which is a Seneca quote. I didn't even mean to kind of go into that, but Seneca has a quote talking about how every human being is an opportunity for kindness, and that's a mindset. That's not a set of standard rules where it's like, oh, I have to do this to be kind to this person in this situation, which we can sometimes define being nice as. We can kind of give it those constraints. Kindness doesn't have that because it's just an evolving mindset where you're like, this person, I can be kind to them in this way, I can be kind to this other person in this other way, and it's a mindset that is a lot harder to break, and so therefore, that's why kindness to Stoics goes right along with these virtues and is something that we must practice. But being nice just for the sake of being nice or following these rules is something that is not Stoic. And while it might be cool and it's great to be nice and these actions can contribute to you having good character, being nice, being a nice person is not a marker of good character, but being a kind person is. And that's a clear distinction that it's very important to make.
And when it comes to being kind, The Stoics said, you know, that we were designed to be kind by nature. And it's really true, because if you see someone helping an old lady walk across the street, an act of kindness, right? Or you see people doing kind things in society, it makes you feel good. It's natural. We are designed to be kind. We are kind beings by nature, right? And the whole reason that Stoics believed in being kind was only if, you know, it's an act of service of others without the desire for gain, recognition, praise, right? So that's what kindness really is. It's you're doing something with integrity. It's when nobody's watching, right? You're still being a kind person, even if nobody's going to notice. That's what sort of encompasses being a kind individual. And the big thing about kindness is Stoics saw it as almost a social duty. We were designed to be kind to other people, right? And that's why I said earlier that, you know, the contribution to the benefit of humanity was so important, is because that's sort of what this social duty is. It's being kind is contributing to the betterment of everybody around us. We have this responsibility to contribute to the greater good. And there's a quote by Marcus Aurelius, you know, we talked about that he wrote extensively about kindness, and he says, "Kindness is unconquerable so long as it is without flattery or hypocrisy." The way that I sort of view what he means by hypocrisy is you can't be kind to some people and not be kind to other people, or tell people they have to be kind and you're not kind, right? Kindness is a mindset that you have to live by. And that doesn't mean you'll be perfect all the time. You won't be, you know, nice all the time to everybody. But if you're living in that state of mind, like you were saying, where you view every person as an opportunity to be kind, then it's going to be a lot better than just being nice or seeing being nice as a set of rules.
The important caveat to this is, like you said, kindness is a mindset, and it's something that's generally kind of applied, and it's not a specific to one person or other. The important caveat is that context absolutely matters, and we can sit here and say, oh, be kind all the time, but that's not the reality. And the unfortunate truth is that while kindness is still an innate human characteristic, there are also people out there who are readily available and want to abuse that kindness for their own personal gain. And so context very heavily matters in that situation, because you don't want to let those kind of people, A, take advantage of you and abuse your kindness for a long period of time to where it's a detriment to your life in some form, and B, you don't want to let those people's actions, or even if somebody you do a kind act for somebody and they don't appreciate it, or they treat you poorly, or they don't even perceive it as a kind act, you can't let it kind of damage your mindset. Just as, you know, if you have a setback in another arena of your life, you can't let that say, oh, I'm going to give up working on that area. It's not how life works. You're always going to have setbacks. And someone not even appreciating your kind act isn't even a setback. Because like you said, I really like that you mentioned about the feeling that being kind gives us, that feeling of happiness. There's actually a study released where I think it's 23% people who exhibit kindness frequently and do kind acts frequently have 23% lower cortisol levels within their brain, which cortisol is the stress hormone. So these people are much less stressed, and as a result, they probably live longer. And that's just from simply doing kind acts. So I'm really glad you mentioned that, because that's an important, just if these do such wonderful things for your physical health and your mental health, then obviously they're things that you need to practice, and you would be a fool for not doing whatsoever. So all that being said means that kindness is a mindset, yes, and it needs to be applied universally, yes. But you also have to consider context, you also have to consider the other virtues in balance, and you have to consider the fact that it's not always going to be appreciated. And that's not going to dismay you, that's not going to say, well, that person looks like they're grumpy, I'm not going to do something kind for them because they won't appreciate it, or they might, you know, take it the wrong way. That's not the motivation for it. It's not external motivation or anything like that. It's an inner locus of rationality and reason that says, to be just, I need to be kind. To uphold these virtues, I need to be kind. If I want to have lower stress, and if I want to live longer, if I want to experience these positive benefits, then I need to do this 100% of the time, no matter what the consequences are, and taking the context into consideration.
And the thing that you mentioned that stuck out to me was that, you know, not everybody is going to appreciate what you do, and you may still be very kind to people, and they may still treat you very poorly. The way to deal with that stoically is Stoics understand that they are only truly in control of their own thoughts and their own mind. So if someone, you know, lashes back out, regardless of if you have been kind to them or not, that is not in your control. But what you can do is continue doing what is right and what is just, and that is being kind and essentially being devoted to the service and harmony of all. And that sort of goes back to the cosmopolitan idea, right? Is living in this, you know, cosmopolis. It's sort of the cosmopolis and capital N nature sort of go hand in hand, because Stoics see capital N nature as being this thing that binds us all together, that makes us all alike, that puts us all on this level playing field, right? So in being devoted to the service and harmony of all, there's a quote by Marcus Aurelius that says, "What brings no benefit to the hive brings none to the bee." Pretty simple analogy here, right? If you're not doing what is best for everybody, then essentially nobody's going to benefit from it. If the hive has no benefit, then the bees have no benefit. So having this mindset of doing good for more than just yourself is going to benefit a lot more people than if you just do good by yourself. Kindness is an interesting thing, because there are times where you have to be very stern when you make a point. There are times where you have to be very gruff, right? And so you're saying, well, how can I be kind all the time? You can't. And you mentioned that earlier. It's not, you know, feasible to be kind all the time. But there's a difference between being kind and being absolutely rude, right? You know, you can be firm, you can be gruff and make a point and get to the point without being disrespectful or being rude to somebody else, or what would be unkind, right? You can still be a kind person, but be stern and get your point across. Those two are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, and I think that factor of it's not a universal truth that you always have to be kind to be virtuous, I think that's one of the reasons why it's not a virtue. People look at the kind of cardinal virtues and they say, well, kindness is such this crucial aspect to life, and being nice and interacting with other people, why isn't it one of these cardinal virtues? It's because it's something that is dependent on context and perception, and like you said, is not necessarily always under our control. Being courageous is always under our control. Regulating ourselves, temperance, emotionally, and with what you partake in, it's all internal. So that's why kindness is not one of those virtues. But that doesn't, again, necessarily mitigate its importance to the Stoic school of philosophy. But like you said, there's times where you do need to be firm. There's times where you do need to be just brutally honest, and you may need to be just blunt about something. I always use the example when I discuss kindness with people about if you have a friend who is doing something terrible, or, you know, they're in a really toxic relationship that's clearly hurting them, and they ask you for your advice, are you going to tell them what they want to hear or what they need to hear? The Stoic thing, the kind thing, would be telling them what they need to hear. But maybe the nice thing is telling them what they want to hear. So the choice is, which one of those are you going to do that? It's very interesting that Epictetus has a quote that directly relates to the situation where he says, it is not a demonstration of kindness or friendship to the people we care about to join them in indulging in wrongheaded negative feelings. We do a better service to ourselves and others by remaining detached and avoiding melodramatic reactions. Now, I worry that that remaining detached part might say, oh, well, that just leads to you being antisocial, and how can you be kind if every time somebody is partaking in negative feelings, you just avoid them? That's not necessarily what I think the message is here. It's not joining them in, if they're doing something negative, that activity or that mindset. It's saying that you're going to separate yourself from that kind of negative experience so you can remain detached, but you still have to be helpful, and you just avoid kind of the drama and the unnecessary negativity, and instead stick to your values, stick to your virtues, which is great that those four cardinal virtues, you can always stick to those. And so those guide your actions, and those will guide you towards the kind path, which is telling that person what they need to hear. That's, again, the difference between being kind and nice illustrated, is that if you give somebody really helpful, but it's hard to hear, it's really hard to hear advice, you know, are they going to get mad at you? Maybe. But more often than not, if they're an emotionally mature person and someone you want to keep as a friend and keep around, they're eventually going to realize that what you said is true and is helpful. And so they will, maybe they don't act on it fully, but in the end, it leads to a more positive situation than if you had enabled their behavior or even forbid, you know, go along with it. And then both you and that person are negatively affected. So it's the clearest illustration I can personally think of the difference between being kind and nice, and why Stoics emphasize kindness but not necessarily niceness. And it's also an important example of knowing context in terms of being kind versus being, you know, what might feel a little bit unkind in the moment, because you have to be very, very honest and explicit and blunt with that person. But it's necessary, and you know the context of, you know, they can recover quickly or maybe they don't, and all of the sort of factors that go along with it.
Well, and also the bluntness, right, and the firmness stems from kindness ultimately, because if you are kind, you want people to know what is best for them. It's kind to, you know, to get to try and push people forward around you. So if the only way that you can do that is to be firm, you may not be being kind necessarily in the moment, but it's still stemming from a place of kindness because you want what's better. Now, I noticed that you talked about the four cardinal virtues of Stoicism. So this is interesting. Seneca has a quote on kindness, and that it sort of shows how being ungrateful and indifferent towards kindness is sort of going against these cardinal virtues. So Seneca says, he is grateful who denies that he has received the kindness which has been bestowed upon him. He is ungrateful who conceals it. He is ungrateful who makes no return for it. Most ungrateful of all is he who forgets it. So that first part, right, where he says, who denies that he has received a kindness which has been bestowed upon him, that's ignorance. And the opposite of wisdom, in my opinion, would be ignorance, right? So you're ultimately, if you're being ungrateful and saying that you have not been treated kindly, you're being ignorant. And then he says, the most ungrateful of all is he who forgets it, right? That's the biggest ignorance of all, is you're saying, you know, people can be kind to me, but I'm so stuck within myself that I can't be kind to anyone else. That's sort of the problem, I guess, today. And, you know, it's pretty prominent as we see our generation sort of growing up sort of in their own bubble, concealed, confided away from, you know, being social. Like social media, there's nothing social about social media. As a matter of fact, it's very, very isolating. And so when we're in person, you know, it's, or when we're on a screen, it's very easy to be unkind to people because we're hidden by something. But in person, being kind will always, you know, prevail to be the best option. You know, you see people in person being kind to each other. You'll never see people saying stuff that they would say on social media in person, because that's just not how the world works. What is social is being around each other and being kind to each other. And if you are the only person being kind in a group of 1,000 people, the Stoics would argue that that's still correct.
And it's sort of, it plays into the selfishness narrative that I think surrounds kindness, especially today, where if we give an act of kindness, then we expect in some sort of karmic way to receive an act of kindness or be really appreciated for it or be compensated for it, but to be recognized. And the art of doing kind acts that go unnoticed is kind of underappreciated now. And I think this selfishness is rooted a lot in ego, which is the antithesis of Stoicism. Stoicism preaches a lot, you know, of self-confidence and building up these habits of self-esteem, but there's never a mention of being egotistical or having a huge ego. And people who are kind to be rewarded, to be recognized, want their ego fed. That is the root of why they are doing these things, is they want that attention, they want that compensation, they want some part of themselves to be fulfilled. This is the wrong way to approach the situation when it comes to kindness. You don't go into, you know, being kind because you want to be fulfilled. You do acts of kindness because they make you feel fulfilled. So you are doing these acts because internally you feel some sort of way, not because there are these external factors that reward you for doing these kind of things, which makes a lot of sense, correct? You know, you talked about dichotomy of control. We mentioned that a lot. We don't want things to be external. These are not what drive us. It has to be based on our morals, our cardinal virtues, and the sense of fulfillment. So you need to establish that first so that it's a sense of selflessness when you're doing these kind acts, not selfishness. And people might say, well, again, look at these videos where it's very individualistic and it's driving you to say, this is going to put you ahead. And, you know, not being kind saves you from being taken advantage of. And I would say that, sure, are there going to be people who, if you're doing these things and being kind makes you feel really fulfilled, so you go out and do a lot of these acts? Are there going to be people who see that and try and take advantage of that? For sure, 100%. But you just have to be smart enough to realize that, hey, this person is taking advantage of me, so I'm going to detach myself from them. That's a proper moment for detachment. That's a proper moment for apathy. So all it takes is a slight little bit of wisdom, which is why we say that there must be a balance of these cardinal virtues when you are practicing kindness. Because it's not just enough to say, I'm going to treat everybody kindly and fairly because that's what's just. No, some person is going to see that and say, wow, I can rob this person. They trust anybody. Don't put yourself in that situation, and all that requires is a little bit of wisdom.
And also, it takes wisdom to understand that if you are in a situation where someone is trying to take advantage of you because of how kind you are, one, you understand it's merely a projection of their internal state, right? The reason that someone would want to take advantage of you is because there is something going on within them that is causing them to do that. It's not your fault that's within them. But also, you're right. You wouldn't want to willingly put yourself in a situation where, you know, people are going to try and take advantage of you. That does take wisdom. Also, stoically, you understand that if you are surrounded by people being unkind, you know that the best revenge is to be unlike the enemy, right? And I told somebody this quote the other day, and they said, well, I wouldn't consider people my enemies. Well, it's not literal enemies. It's merely people who are just sort of opposing you and who may be acting in the opposite way, right? Who are doing things that you do not want to do. Something else that coincides directly with kindness is gratitude. So the more gracious you are as a person, the easier it is to be kind. And like you mentioned with ego, the more, you know, egocentric you are, focused only, you know, tunnel vision on yourself, it's very hard to be grateful. And if you're ungrateful about almost everything, you can't be kind. Kindness stems almost directly from gratitude, or you could argue it's the other way. You know, your gratitude stems from being kind all the time. But I would say, you know, gratitude is sort of the foundation of kindness itself, because if you can really appreciate everything around you and be glad and be gracious, then it's a lot easier to project that, you know, emotion, that feeling out onto other people by being kind and giving something, you know, for other people to be gracious about. the more you are kind to other people, the more people have something to appreciate, to look forward to. And the Stoics talk about reputation, how it's something that you cannot control. But the one thing that you control, that you can control, is having the reputation of being a kind person. You know, if you're known for just being a jerk in the workplace or, you know, wherever, that's your own fault. But if you're known for being a kind person, that is something that you can control. Going around, you know, every day attempting to be as kind as possible, as much as possible, while also, you know, having a bit of wisdom and understanding that there's certain situations where you have to act accordingly.
I'd actually, you know, I'd disagree with that. I think that reputation is kind of universal, that you can't control it. And I think when I mentioned that part of the aspect of kindness is not worrying about others, people's perceptions of it, it goes to that end. Because if you worry about, I can control my reputation as a kind person, then if you do something kind and someone says, well, that was rude, like if you're having this blunt conversation with your friend and maybe it's in a public place and somebody overhears and they think that's rude, but they don't know the context of your situation, are you going to let their perception of you influence your actions in the future? That's not what a Stoic would allow. That's not what really a sensible person would allow, because again, they don't know the context, they don't know the situation. So I think I disagree. I see the point that you're coming from, but if we worry too much about reputation as it relates to kindness, it kind of gets diminished, because when you live in a society that is maybe selfish, definitely self-centered, and doesn't really fully appreciate when people close to them do something kind for them, do you really expect them to be appreciative of you? And are you really going to worry about that? That's not, again, the reason why you should be doing these kind acts. It's because, like you said, the attempt of being kind. That's what truthfully matters. If you, in your heart of hearts, know I'm trying to do something nice and kind and generous or compassionate, whatever adjective you want to describe it as, and they didn't appreciate it, it's not their appreciation that matters. It's the fact that you were attempting to do these things and taking time out of your day to do these things. Right. So that's what truthfully matters. And I think that's where counterculture messages around kindness and Stoicism is that. Besides that, Stoicism is very similar to the mainstream, where it's like, be a kind person, be a nice person. If we all want to exist in a similar society and we want to see society benefit and grow, then we're all going to have to be nice and kind to each other. And that takes different forms. But in that process, we cannot worry about what one specific person thinks or maybe a few people think. You have to think about society as a whole, and you have to think about what your internal motivations were, because that's ultimately what matters most.
And it's not even so much, you know, being concerned with your reputation, you know, and I was bringing it up, or, you know, doing it for your reputation. It's just sort of a byproduct of being kind, and not, you know, not always will everyone see you as a kind person, but it certainly, you know, I would say people are more likely to notice or want to talk to you in the future, you know, if they hear that you are a kind person. So it's not that you should be kind for your reputation, or that you are totally in control of your reputation, because like you said, someone hears one sentence out of context and they can assume a plethora of things. It could be that this person's rude, this person likes to make fun of people, this person, you know, just likes to get on people about stuff, whatever it is. However, when you are kind, when you are attempting to be kind as much as possible, that will, to an extent, make a difference, and people will sort of recognize you. Some people, not everybody, but certain people will recognize you as being a kind person, someone that they can talk to, someone that they can get advice from, etc. It's not, but if you're doing it only for that reason, you know, for your reputation, right, then it is wrong, as you said. But the what does truly matter is attempting to be kind, is coming from a place of kindness. You know, whether or not someone perceives it as being kind, that's not really what matters the most. It's coming from a place of kindness and doing everything out of kindness, regardless of, you know, the result.
And even if it's somebody like that who's not appreciative, you mentioned the quote about not being like your enemy. It's important that we're kind, we're equally as kind to people who do wrong to us and we might want to classify as our enemies, as our friends. It's equally important that we're kind to both of these people, which we can see in many, many Stoic teachings. Marcus Aurelius has a quote which says, only one thing is important in life, to behave throughout your life towards the liars and the crooks and basically the criminals with kindness, honesty, and justice. So even the worst people in society, the people who might want to take advantage of you or do harm to you or do wrong, it's still important to be kind to those people. And the reason for that is, why does the wise man, why does the just person take a break with kindness? Why do you take a break with a quality that builds your character up and supports these virtues? You never take a break from being wise or tempering yourself or not getting emotional if you're a Stoic. So similarly, kindness is not something that should leave just because of the character of somebody else. And so it goes along with that teaching that if somebody doesn't appreciate it, then just do it again, which is counterintuitive. If you do something nice for somebody, something kind, and they don't appreciate it, and most people will throw up their hands and say, I'm not doing that for them again. They don't appreciate it. It's not the right mindset to have. We can't exclude right. these qualities from anybody in our lives. So the best course of action is to continually do that kind act. And in the process, maybe you educate them or you change their mindset a little bit so that you improve their lives by continually being gracious and kind. And that's the ultimate goal, is education through kindness. We can't, I talked about in one of my Stoic readings how we can't approach philosophy and teaching philosophy as superior and inferior and teaching down and always just trying to improve other people. But what we can do is be kind and be understanding. Now, we don't necessarily want to join in people's bad habits, bad feelings, negative feelings, all of these things. We don't want to join in with them, but we do want to be empathetic. We do want to understand, and we do want to motivate and educate them if the situation allows for it. I think that's the final point I want to make today, is that kindness, at the end of the day, especially as it relates to philosophy, is an important tool in your kind of educational tool belt. If you're trying to teach, especially Stoicism, to somebody, starting with kindness is something that is one of the best strategies, because that's not what we traditionally think of Stoicism as, right? We don't think of it as something where you're overly loving or overly kind, and you certainly aren't. It's certainly a balance. But leading with kindness is one of the best ways to get people to check out the school of Stoicism, to check out philosophy, and to maybe improve their lives. So that's just yet another reason, on top of the almost feels like 20 we've already mentioned, why it's important to be kind. And the caveat with that, and my final remarks here, is that while we are being kind, while we are educating, while we're doing these things, it's not unsolicited. You don't just go up to somebody and say, hey, I think what you're doing is wrong, this is what you should do. That's not a kind approach. That's a very rude approach. Like you said, that you can't be rude. And it's a very rude approach, and it's something that's very off-putting. I wouldn't want to be approached on the street and said, hey, this quality you have sucks. Like, here's how to change it. It's not a very effective strategy.
Which may be true, but it's not effective.
The effective strategy is you're kind, you're understanding, and you only offer up your advice and your thoughts when you are asked for it. And that is the moment, like we said, there's an appropriate time and place to be blunt, to be honest, to be genuine. That's that time.
And I'll make my final remarks as well. You said, you know, if most people, right, they do a kind thing and someone isn't appreciative of it, and, you know, that person says, oh, I'm never doing that again. Well, that sort of implies, right, that you weren't exactly doing it for the other person, that you sort of wanted to be, you know, praised for it. That's exactly the wrong approach. And like you mentioned, it's the wrong mindset to take with kindness. Kindness should stem from, you know, a place that doesn't want gain, recognition, flattery, right? And that's exactly what Marcus Aurelius said earlier, what I mentioned from his quote. And there is one final quote that I would like to say, and he says, and when you do become angry, be ready to apply this thought, that to fly into passion is not a sign of maturity, but rather to be kind and gentle. For anybody, man, woman, right? If you are angry and you sort of let that fly into as, right, a passion is what he says, which means sort of letting it take over, that's not being mature. That's not being emotionally mature. That is not being Stoic. What is rather mature and the Stoic way is to be kind and gentle, even though maybe you are literally blowing up on the inside. You know, you want to punch somebody in the face. You want to yell. You want to scream, break something, lose it. That's not mature. That's not emotionally mature. So to close, we are debunking the idea that Stoicism is a cold, emotionless philosophy. It's not. It stems from being kind and being loving. That is what virtue stems from. To have virtue is to do something well. So the only way to, you know, do Stoicism well, I guess, is to start from a place of kindness and love. And so I would say with that, do you have any closing remarks?
But don't watch those YouTube videos. Don't watch the AI BS that says that being kind is bad. Instead, read these texts, read some of these academic sources, and find out for yourself why Stoics are inherently kind and inherently good people. With that being said, this has been this week's episode of the Gen Z Stoic Podcast. Thank you for listening as always, and be sure to tune in next week.